Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Wow, blew out my eardrums. Happy Monday, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. And so much going on today, and I am focused, so I am confident that I will get it in. Anthony Scaramucci is leaving as General Kelly now comes in, and I guess he wants to probably bring in his own team and communications team. And so that is the latest breaking news. You notice the media, that's all they want to focus on is either Russia, or the palace intrigue. What they don't want to ever focus in on is the numerous scandals, even Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the IT guy and this incredible story of corruption when you know there's double billing, you know people are hired that don't have the qualifications, and they have access to information that probably is compromising to the country, and she keeps him on when everyone else got rid of the guy. And it is so bizarre. Another example of more hard drives busted up. They're either bleach bit, acid washed, you've got devices destroyed with hammers, and then you've got hard drives absolutely demolished. I've never seen such real open obstruction of justice in my life, but that's all we seem to get with the Democratic Party. And with all the talk about, okay, well, Anthony Scaramucci's making way for the new chief of staff to have his own team and a clean slate. You know, that's all you'll hear from the media. They're not going to focus in. Get this. GDP has gone up to 2.6%, more than doubling the rate of growth in the first quarter, which was ostensibly the Obama quarter. It's put now the economy on a trajectory that could get the president at 3% GDP or higher by the end of the year, and it is accelerated dramatically. We have the lowest number of people on food stamps in 7 years. You're not going to hear about that type of growth. And if the Congress ever gets their act together, it's even going to be bigger than that. Now, let me just give you a list of the things we're going to touch on today, all of our top stories. We got General Kelly in as the president's new chief of staff. There was an incredible background story about him that I want to share with you about who he is. In many ways, the North Korea situation has zero good options, and it is now emerging, I think, as what will be a defining challenge for the Trump administration, maybe even far more than any other issue that ultimately he ends up dealing with between China and Japan and North and South Korea and the Iranians and radical Islam and Russia. This world is a mess, and it's going to need bold leadership. But when it comes to once Clinton allowed North Korea to get nuclear weapons, and he basically bribed them into getting them, which sounds absurd, but he tried to buy them off, and they got them anyway. And it cost us billions and billions of dollars that were wasted instead of just taking out where the facilities in the first place, which should be a abject lesson for how we deal with Iran going forward. Then on top of that, we've got the numerous scandals. Think about what's happening scandal-wise with the Democratic Party. And Republicans are not only impotent when it comes to their agenda. As I say, they are a party now that does not have a real identity. I don't know this Republican Party anymore, but on top of not getting legislative accomplishments, nor are they doing their job in terms of using their power that you gave them, their subpoena power, their investigative powers. Imagine if the IT Wasserman Schultz story had to do with somebody that worked with the Trump campaign. And there were smashed hard drives, double billing, questionable people on a payroll that have no IT experience, and that she keeps him on for this extraordinary period of time before he tries to, with an ankle bracelet, send money to Pakistan so he can head to Qatar and then over to Pakistan. Really? Donald Trump did that? Scandal, scandal, real collusion. Or the Ukrainian story. Imagine a Trump campaign member meeting with the Ukrainian ambassador in the Ukrainian embassy and passing on information to the RNC and the Trump campaign. What would happen then? Imagine Uranium One, which I think ultimately becomes the biggest scandal, because I don't believe in any way, shape, matter, or form, I don't believe that that story is over. You want real Russia collusion? How is it possible on that story that you can investigate? Well, where did the $145 million come from that what funneled into the Clinton Foundation? She gives one of nine waivers on the issue of Vladimir Putin and Russia getting 20% or up to 20% of our uranium, which is the foundational material for nuclear weapons. How's that not a bigger story? Then you got James Comey. Sarah Carter broke a story last week where the chief counsel of the FBI, just like Comey, is being investigated for leaks. I am told by my sources there are numerous Obama people that are going to be outed, high-ranking people, as being involved in the unmasking and potentially intelligence leaking. This is all coming in days and weeks. Republicans have been impotent in terms of using, again, the power, the authority that you gave them to call and demand for special counsels, to use their subpoena powers, to use their investigative tools to get to the bottom of real crimes. And then you got Loretta Lynch, the tarmac. It's not an investigation in any way. It's a matter. And followed by Hillary and the emails and the emails in the bathroom closet. But it turns out the emails in the bathroom closet were not designed so she could have the convenience of one device, because she had 16 devices and many of them were smashed with hammers so the FBI could never have access to them. And the two that she finally sent over to the FBI didn't have SIM cards. This is now the circumstances under which we are operating in this country. And then you have, you know, how does Donald Trump govern with a Republican Party that some of whom have gone to war with him? You got two Arizona senators that have no intention of helping Donald Trump. John McCain being the deciding vote against, you know, the skinny repeal bill that was attempted last week. I mean, that's some. Then you got Jeff Flake. GOP lost its way, given into nativism, xenophobia. That's sort of like John McCain saying that our inaction is their, you know, means of making money. They can go straight to hell, those hosts on radio and TV. They go straight to hell. Well, what if I ever said that about John McCain or anybody else? Well, okay, how would people deal with that? So now you've got, what does this all prove, what I'm saying? That you've got the deep state, the Democratic Party, a corrupt media that's only interested in palace intrigue, process, and Russia, and not covering real stories. Deep state, Democratic Party, media, Republicans, and the president is trying to advance the agenda. How do three senators, three of them, how do they possibly get in the way and hold the entire Republican Party platform hostage? How is that? I've got a lot to say about it. The president this weekend was right to say and challenge Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is out there saying it's time to move on from repealing and replacing Obamacare. No, it's not. I say there are four things, you Republicans in Washington, you better get your ass and act together and you better get done. You better do something on health care because it's imploding. And as the president pointed out, Americans are suffering greatly because of the disaster that is Obamacare. People in Arizona, Senator Flake and Senator McCain, saw 116% increase this year alone. That's a lot. Then you've got, as the president said this week, if Obamacare is hurting people, why does Congress exempt itself? And I think Congress should unexempt itself. And when the president tweeted out, "Don't give up, Republican senators. The world is watching. And I have pen in hand. I'm ready to do this." And then he said, "Unless the Republican senators are total quitters, repeal and replace is not dead. Demand another vote before voting on any other bill." The president's right. The president has an identity. He has an agenda. You know, he wants to vet refugees from countries like that practice Sharia. Smart thing to do. He wants to build the wall. Smart thing to do. He wants education sent back to the states. Smart thing to do. He's lifted Obama-era regulations. Smart thing to do. He's moving the country towards energy independence. We got millions of high-paying career jobs. It's smart for that reason, and then it's smart because it's the lifeblood of our economy and countries that hate us we will no longer be dependent on. Yes, he wants a replacement bill for Obamacare and wants it repealed. He wants tax cuts for the middle class. He wants it for corporate America. He wants repatriated trillions for multinationals. What does this Republican Party stand for except they're fighting him like the media, the Democrats, and the deep state? And that includes the Never Trumpers. You know, Mo Brooks said if McConnell can't get this done, he's not going to vote for him if he's elected to the Senate. Well, that's why I support Mo Brooks to replace Jeff Sessions in Alabama. And what is the reaction of Senator McConnell? Well, Senator McConnell, Politico writes a piece, he's waging war to get rid of poor Mo Brooks so he doesn't replace Jeff Sessions. Wow, he wants to move on from Obamacare. Well, that's not going to help any American that is suffering right now. Anyway, so Mo Brooks said if McConnell can't get it done, he needs to step down. I agree with Mo Brooks. And that goes for everybody. You know, in Great Britain, the National Health Service is planning brutal cutbacks in health care availability. They already deny if you're above a certain age and you've reached your life expectancy, good luck if you're older and need a hip replacement or a knee replacement or any real serious medical care, because their attitude is, well, you've already lived beyond your life expectancy. Now, with the Senate, are they going to go on vacation? Are they going to take an August recess? They still haven't even made the appointment, so Donald Trump can have his own government. And Trump has threatened to yank Congress's gold-plated health benefits. I hope he does. If it's not passed quickly, he goes on, that the members of Congress, their bailout should end. Their platinum plan should end. There should be never any bill passed by Congress that they themselves are not subject to. And remember, there was $1 trillion in savings that they were counting on for the president's economic plan. And the OMB director, Mulvaney, is saying the Senate needs to fix it because that then impacts what they're able to do with the president's economic plan to get jobs back. But don't worry, it's people like me that hell with people like me, the hell with us. As John McCain said, our inaction is their economic opportunity. Senator, I've been laying out solutions on this program for years. And now how does the president get his promises done when Republicans, I guess, are so self-destructive? They need to start doing their job. And I'm going to lay out every day what their job is because they don't apparently know. And then how do you balance solving the country's problems and also dealing with the massive amount of lawbreaking and corruption? Because if you don't deal with that, well, that means in America we have a two-tier justice system and we don't have equal justice under the law. I'll get to that when we come back. We'll get to North Korea. I want to tell you a story about General Kelly, the new chief of staff who is taking in, who's up today in his first day in the job. So many stories to get to today. Yeah, weak Republicans, both on the agenda, promises, and weak on the use of the power you gave them to keep equal justice under the law. Then, of course, we got North Korea and the real, clear, present danger with no good options that we're going to get to in the course of it. Then you got real corruption in the Democratic Party. Finally, there are some House Republicans beginning to move on that. And that is only the beginning. And anyway, how does the president govern against people in his own party that don't want him to succeed? I want to talk for a second about General John Kelly, the new chief of staff. I don't know him. I don't remember meeting him, but I meet a lot of people. I don't remember ever meeting him. But there was a story that was in the Washington Post. I know I have to read it so you don't ever have to touch it, but this weekend. And he gave a speech 4 days after his 29-year-old son was killed. He was a platoon leader of Marines in southern Afghanistan. He was killed instantly when he stepped on a landmine. 4 years later, 4 days later, he was giving a speech. He had one request. Don't mention my son. He asked the Marine Corps officer introducing him. He didn't once refer to his son's death. And he delivered some of the most passionate words of what our military does to sacrifice for us. It tells a lot about this man. And he talked about the military's isolation, growing isolation from society. Quote, their struggle is your struggle, he said, as it was a room full of Marines, local business people. They knew we just lost his son 4 days earlier. If anyone thinks you can somehow thank them for their service and not support the cause which they fight, our country, these people are lying to themselves. More important, they are slighting our warriors and mocking their commitment to this nation. He went on to say, and then he did this as he got a long ovation on all of this. And he didn't want to be separated or paid attention to the fact that he lost his son. And he said, well, we are only one of 5,500 American families who had suffered the loss of a child in this war. When he answered an email about it, the death of my boy simply cannot be made to seem any more tragic than the other soldiers. That's the guy who is now the new chief of staff for the president of the United States. I mean, an amazing story about an amazing man who also reminds us something I've been telling you. We can no longer send 58,000 men to die in Vietnam and then lose the war and give up because it's politicized. In Iraq and Afghanistan, 5,500. And then Obama pulls out. We didn't get the full victory. I will not support military action again in my life unless this country stops politicizing warfare. It is morally repugnant that we've done this to the military.
Stops working for the good of the country. Sean Hannity with behind the scenes information on today's breaking news. Hannity is on right now.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941 Sean. So many top stories today. Wasn't that an amazing story about General Kelly? Now, Linda has a good friend of hers in the studio, but she won't tell me who it is because she doesn't want to introduce me to this person. But you said that person knows General Kelly. And she said the story that was in the Washington Post is 1,000% true, that this guy is literally a real disciplined military guy that is top notch, and he will bring order to the White House, and that there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what. And Newt told me the same thing earlier today. He'll join us in the next hour, at the top of the next hour. He's known General Kelly for a long time too. So
yeah, I mean we're hearing nothing but good things about General Kelly, and that he's all about order and sticking to the rules and playing by the book and being a patriot and fair to our president. So
can
yeah,
you
we look
imagine
forward to seeing it.
Not one he loses his son, gives a speech 4 days later, and says, "Don't mention my son. We're only one of 5,500 American families who suffered the loss of a child in this war." And the death of my boy simply cannot be made to seem any more tragic than the others. I don't know. I mean, it made me almost want to just tear up hearing it. And that's the same thing we've known, though, for a long time, haven't we? That's the same reason we did the concerts for the military and the families that we met one after another that lost their fathers and mothers in this war, that they were there fighting for all the right reasons. And then just like Vietnam, never mind. How do you say never mind to a family that gave up and lost a loved one? How do you say never mind to the men and women we've met without arms and legs and the disfigurement that they will live with for the rest of their lives?
And what about all the men that are now serving time in prisons that they don't belong in, like Clint Lawrence? You know, I mean,
same thing.
Giving their lives.
Same thing, and I don't know how many more segments I can do on Clint Lawrence because I'm not getting anywhere. We're trying.
Maybe with General Kelly we will.
You know, that's a great, if I, that's going to be the first thing I tell him. By the way, when the rare occasions that I've been to the White House, and in spite of what the media would tell you, which is hilarious, they don't even know what happened. They have no idea. And I'm just, I've been off Twitter. Have you noticed? I'm not really tweeting out that much. I did tweet out that the lobster, the lobster story. That
the 70-pound, 70-year-old lobster that was delicious?
How do you know how old a lobster is anyway? How does that, what do you gauge the age of a lobster?
Well, we learned that they live a very long time.
Well, apparently, but I never knew it. Hey, Linda, all the years we've been together, have you ever seen me order seafood?
Except not once.
I might grab a shrimp if it's at the table.
I've actually never even seen you do that.
Yeah. I might take a, if there's enough butter that I can drench it with butter, I could do that. But that's not what I order pork chops and steak. Steak and pork chops. Pork chops and steak. Steak and pork chops. And bacon. If they
and
have
burgers.
Bacon. And burgers. I love burgers. I love really good burgers. And that's and I order eggs when we go. Ham,
you
eggs,
order
bacon.
Eggs all the time.
I do. I eat a lot of eggs. Well, I'm on a protein diet. That's what I eat.
I know. You're a ninja.
I'm a ninja. So anyway, I am going to tell you another thing because the media narrative is, I mean, all they want to do is cover process and cover the palace intrigue and cover Russia. That's all they care about. How is it that the media doesn't care about the Wasserman Schultz scandal? I don't even think it's if you want to know what I mean, that they're so biased. Now, we've learned some interesting information. Andrew Napolitano of Fox, you know, he's been proven right on a number of occasions when they excoriated him in the media. Well, he made the point that the computer tech, this IT guy, is now under investigation for selling sensitive information he found in the emails of Democratic House members. But that's only a small part of it. Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz keep this guy on when they knew he had double billed? This guy had to have some knowledge that she didn't want him to talk about. How is it that people that worked at McDonald's had no IT qualifications were being paid? Up to $4 million. Now, congressional leaders, I guess on the heels of last week's letter, why do you think I've been hammering this so hard on the issue of open up the investigations into Hillary Clinton's server, Hillary Clinton's emails, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, Ukrainian influence in our election, and certainly the Uranium One deal? And now we've got the chief counsel for the FBI being investigated. And now we're going to hear in the next week or two top names in the Obama administration involved in unmasking and involved in intelligence leaking. This is getting bigger by the day. And so, you know, leading members of the House Judiciary are finally, Government Oversight Committee, are finally going to launch investigations into Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the illicit IT activity. And that could be meaning what I've been saying. Put Debbie Wasserman Schultz under oath. Put Loretta Lynch under oath. Put Hillary Clinton, John Podesta. Put that Chalupa woman under oath. Put Robbie Mook under oath. Put Jennifer Palmieri under oath, whatever her name is, and put them all under oath. And bring in those people that donated the money to the $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. Put them under oath. Put Hillary under oath. Put people at the foundation under oath. Put people at the server place under oath. Put this Fusion GPS people under oath. I've never seen such corruption. The media does not care about the truth. You know, there was one right admission in the Washington Post, of all places. I guess hell freezes over once in a lifetime because they published an op-ed acknowledging in the Washington Post the Democrats' Russiagate investigation had laid a big fat goose egg. Nothing. You know, while everyone's fixated on President Trump and he was critical of Jeff Sessions. Well, apparently Jeff Sessions, we're beginning to see, might have been more involved in investigating these things than anybody knew, which is what my hope is. Because otherwise, we have a two-tier justice system. And for all the breathless hype, you know, and the furrowed brows and the hopes that this could be Watergate and Saturday Night Massacre analogies, well, Jared Kushner's statement and testimony before Congress, apparently behind closed doors, made many Democrats and even many in the media realize that there is no collusion or they're there. And as of the date of all of this, the media thought that, oh, Kushner, this is it. Well, his clear, precise, 11-page memo basically put to rest the whole thing. And at some point when this is exposed as a fraud, when are we going to, when is the media going to have to be accountable for what they have done here in their desire to advance an ideology, an agenda, and destroy a sitting president and overturn the election of the American people? That's what's at stake here. Kimberly Strassel over at the Wall Street Journal pointing out congressional Democrats are suddenly desperate to protect Fusion GPS. That's that op research firm that was used by Hillary's campaign, you know, to compile the infamous golden shower hookers peeing on a bed in the Ritz in Moscow dossier, which was full of paid individuals from Russia. Anyway, it's been, you know, Democrats got their glorious news that, you know, oh, Donald Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner were going to be testifying. They're salivating, watching Trump insiders. Yet now the Democrats are kind of retreating. You know, now they don't want, for example, they want to talk about Russia collusion. What about Fusion GPS? What about this op research? Who paid them behind the infamous discredited Trump dossier ginned up by the former MI6 British spy and Fusion co-founder Glenn Simpson, supposed to testify at the Grassley hearing where he would be asked in public to reveal who hired him to put together the phony dossier on Trump? Also, did they know it was false? Also, were Democrats involved? Also, did they know that the source of the MI6 agent were Russians? Turns out Russians apparently are everywhere. And Democrats are willing to give up just about anything to apparently protect Mr. Simpson. You know, what if in all this time the media has known the Russia collusion story is wrong? And I've been saying they've had it ass backwards. I've been telling you this. You know, the Democrats, that it wasn't the Trump campaign that was close to the Vladimir regime. And it makes sense that Vladimir wanted Hillary. The weak reset. Obama saying, tell
Vladimir that I'm going to have a lot more flexibility after the election.
Yeah, and this is my election. I have more flexibility. Yeah. And this, I transmit this information to Vladimir and my senator.
Yeah, I have more flexibility. William Browder, a banker who worked to expose Putin's crimes, testified at the Grassley Committee late last week. He was the target of a similar campaign, saying that Fusion GPS spread false information about him and his efforts. Oh, wait a minute. And Fusion admitted it was hired by a law firm representing a Russia company called Prevazon. And they employed one of the Russian operatives who were at Trump Tower last year and the other Russian who attended that meeting. Whoopsie-daisy. Just like I think at the end of it, I would suspect that the money that was paid to the Clinton Foundation, I want to know where that money came from. I want to know where the Canadians got it. I want to know if it was whitewashed. Or what do they call it? Money laundered? I want to know answers to these questions. It was just investigative questions. I'm asking questions. And I want to know why all of a sudden they don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, because they know this goes right back to Hillary and Russia. Not Trump and Russia. It's been wrong the whole time. The entire narrative is dead wrong. Now the House Judiciary is asking for a special counsel for Clinton and Comey and Lynch. A little late, but I'm glad you're there so we can investigate the Attorney General directing Comey to say, to lie to the American people. It's not an investigation, it's a matter. Or the meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton days before the decision, or the concern about a two-tier justice system, and certainly Clinton's mishandling of classified top secret and special access program information and the destruction of such, the FBI and DOJ's investigative decision related to Hillary Clinton. Could it be others had a conflict of interest here, that Hillary knew too much and that Hillary threatened to go scorched earth on people? It's always a possibility, right? Department of State saying their employees' involvement in determining which communications of Hillary Clinton's and her associates were to be turned over. It's called obstruction. Taking a hammer to devices, that's obstruction. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, obstruction. When you destroy government property and you destroy hard drives seemingly on purpose and keep this guy, even though you know he double-billed, and keeping his friends and his family on even after the fact is known. the apparent failure here of the DOJ under James Comey and others in the Clinton years. What about WikiLeaks disclosures about the Clinton Foundation? What about WikiLeaks disclosures about the media? What about connections between the Clinton campaign and the Clinton Foundation and foreign entities like Russia and Ukraine? What about Comey's knowledge of the purchase of Uranium One? Did you know he knew about that? By the company that's known as Rosatom, whatever it's called, Rosatom? And with the approval of the sale, was connected to any domains made to the Clinton Foundation? What role did Secretary Clinton play in the approval of that sale? That would give upwards of 20% of our uranium to Vladimir. Or disclosures arising from unlawful access to the DNC's computer systems, including inappropriate collusion between the DNC, the Clinton campaign. The fix was in. Bernie Sanders was screwed and lost before it even started. Or the post-election accusations against Trump, this whole phony narrative fed to CNN and NBC, and they've gone with it day in and day out about whether or not the president, was the president wiretapped? Was he wiretapped legally? Was General, what's his name, Flynn, was he unmasked illegally? Was raw intelligence leaked on this man, which is a violation of the Espionage Act? The selective classified leaks, the unmasking of U.S. persons. We have a great intelligence community that works hard every day to keep us safe. I love these people. But if we're going to give them the most powerful tools of intelligence and they're going to turn it, or the top people in the Obama administration known to Clinton are going to turn those weapons against the American people illegally, well, that's the foundation of a police state. But don't worry, CNN only wants to talk about Reince Priebus, Scaramucci, Phallus Intrigue, and Russia. That's all they care about. The admitted leaks by James Comey. Now we have the general counsel of the FBI being investigated for leaking intelligence. You know, I mean, Comey and the FBI's reliance, he wanted to pay Fusion GPS $50,000 or some such odd number. You understand how bad this is? And Fusion GPS in bed with the mainstream media, this phony dossier, and finally the Republicans, a Comey confidant at the FBI under investigation. Witness tied to Hillary-connected anti-Trump research firm, connected to Russia. You understand what I'm telling you here? This is major information we're passing on every day that nobody else dares to touch. And we're going to be proven right. I'm telling you right now, like we were right about Obama, like we were right about Trump in the election, like we were right about Richard Jewell and Duke LaCrosse and Reverend Wright and Ayers and Dorn, and like we were right about Ferguson and Freddie Gray and Zimmerman and you know, everything that went on down there, and Trayvon Martin. And the media is always wrong. Always wrong. And I get the crap beat out of me every time, and I get proven right. Because we do our work here. And I was in Washington, not for what you might have read last week. I was in Washington doing real work that I think is going to have a profound impact down the road.
We were discussing a little while ago before the meeting how well we're doing, however. We have the highest stock market in history. We have GDP on Friday, got very little mention, although I guess in the business areas it did, but got, I think, very little mention. 2.6 is a number that nobody thought they'd see for a long period of time. Remember, I was saying we will hit 3 at some point in the not-too-distant future, and everybody smiled and they laughed and they thought we'd be at 1. And 2.6 is an unbelievable number announced on Friday. Unemployment is the lowest it's been in 17 years. Business enthusiasm is about as high as they've ever seen it. In fact, it is as high, the highest point in 28 years, according to a certain graph and a certain chart. The manufacturers are, the enthusiasm level is incredible. We have a lot of tremendous things going. We have some interesting situations that we'll handle, North Korea, Middle East, lots of problems that we inherited from previous administrations, but we'll take care of them. We'll take care of them very well. But overall, I think we're doing incredibly well. The economy is doing incredibly well, and many other things. So we're starting from a really good base. I predict that General Kelly will go down in terms of the position of chief of staff, one of the great ever. And we're going to have a good time, but much more importantly, we're going to work hard, and we're going to make America great again. It's all about making America great again. That's what we're going to do. That's what I said. That's how we won this big election, and that's what we're in the process of doing and continuing. And, General, it's really great to have you on board, and thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. Okay? It will be handled. We handle everything. Thank you very much.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free number. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. That's the president talking about a situation that I don't see any good answer to, which is North Korea. All weekend long, the president is saying, hey, Congress, get your act together. As I mentioned in the last hour, get Obamacare done. And saying, why should Congress not have the same care as every American? And why would you give up? For 7 years you've been promising this. I'm ready to sign the bill tomorrow. And we've got a new chief of staff, and that is General Kelly. I mean, I was reading in the Washington Post this week, and I know I hate the paper, but I was reading it. But the story about General Kelly was it was unbelievable. 4 days after his son was killed in Afghanistan, he actually gave a speech to a crowd in St. Louis with one request: please don't mention my son. In the speech, he said their struggle, meaning the military, is your struggle. If anyone thinks you can somehow thank them for their service and not support the cause for which they fight, our country, well, these people are lying to themselves. And more importantly, they're slighting our warriors and mocking their commitment to this nation. And what he said about his own son that he lost: we are only one of 5,500 American families who had suffered the loss of a child in this war, and the death of my boy simply cannot be made to seem any more tragic than the others. Wow. Newt Gingrich knows him very well. He joins us now, former Speaker of the House. How long have you known General Kelly?
I think we first met about 1994. He had been at the National Defense University. He was a lieutenant colonel, and he came over and became a colonel, and for 4 years was the chief Marine Corps liaison to the House while I was Speaker. We traveled together. He is a brilliant guy. I really like him very much, and I think he will be a great chief of staff.
All right, let me ask you, there's a lot of articles, a lot of things that the president was tweeting this weekend. You know, the world is watching, he said, repeal and replace, go to 51 votes, get rid of the nuclear option, in other words. I agree with him on all of that. And by the way, Congress shouldn't have a separate plan from anybody. He said, don't give up on Obamacare. Then you got Mo Brooks said, if Mitch McConnell can't get this done, he ought to go. And Mitch McConnell, he says it's time to move on from repealing Obamacare. What is your take on all of this mess that they created?
Well, I mean, first of all, and this is my newsletter that's going to come out on Wednesday at Gingrich Productions, I think it's important to remember that for every Republican who voted no, there were 16 Democrats. For the three Republicans who voted no, there were 10 Democrats in states that Trump carried, who were up for re-election next year, who voted no. So part of my caution to my conservative friends and my Republican friends is spend a lot more of your energy beating the 10 Democrats, and you're going to have a margin for error, which you don't have right now. Which is, I mean, we just proved that even trying to pass things at 51-49, they can't do it right now, because on a lot of these close issues, they're not going to get to 51. And that's going to continue to be true until they learn to go to the country. You know, Reagan understood that if you got the country excited, the country would force the Congress to cooperate. And as they start to look, for example, at a tax cut program, my real number one concern is to get them to have the kind of tax cuts you can explain back home so people go to the town hall meeting, and or they go on call talk radio, or they go on letters to the editor, and they say, I really want this. And then it's going to all of a sudden be very easy to pass. And you're going to have Democrats vote for it. So part of it is I would just do this whole thing differently. Where they are right now, I think, they ought to break the bill up into 5 or 6 different bills, write each of them to be extraordinarily popular, drive them through, taunt the Democrats into voting no, and either get the Democrats to vote yes and help pass them, or beat them in the 2018 election.
How about Mitch McConnell not go on vacation for August? How about they stay and do their job?
Well, I think he's already indicated they're going to stay until they get most of the president's appointees confirmed, and I think under the pressure of that, the Democrats are actually starting to agree to move some. I mean, it is truly disgraceful how much Schumer and the Democrats have blocked just simply being able to fill up the Defense Department, Homeland Security, Justice, you name it, with what would normally have been under Obama or under George W. Bush, just done almost automatically. Obama actually got 79 nominees cleared in 1 week in July of 2009. And this has been a deliberate effort to stall the government and to slow down the rate of change. And I think that McConnell's now calling Schumer's bluff on this. So we'll see how that works. But the other side of it is, and I think you and I probably just don't agree on this, they can re-vote this 20 times. The fact is they're not going to get McConnell. I mean, they're not going to get McCain. They're not going to get Mikulski, and they're not going to get
How do they get to hold the whole party hostage to the major promise they made, and they themselves made? All three of those, well, except with the exception of Susan Collins.
Yeah, I mean, Collins has been very consistent, and I've always separated her out. Well, remember that first of all, remember that Mikulski is a very tough infighter who actually lost the primary and came back and won her seat in a write-in. So she's pretty hard to intimidate. And, of course, McCain got reelected, and he's 80 years old. And he's going to do what he thinks he ought to do, period. Well, you can agree or disagree. I'm with you. I think when somebody campaigns for 7 years, and I remember that John McCain, for example, actually ran a commercial talking about how he wanted to repeal Obamacare. I mean, I do think there's some point here where he should have voted yes, not no. I don't. You and I are on the same side about that. My point, though, is as a practical matter that I do think they can get a lot of this stuff passed. I think they can actually package it in smaller boxes rather than trying to do one gigantic bill. They'll come out, they'll have planned between now and Christmas, 4 to 6 health bills, each of them designed to be popular, things you and I believe in, for example, health savings accounts. There's no reason that can't be sold to the American people as a really positive thing to do.
You know, what's amazing? You had the health care solution. I forgot, health care, what did you call your group? I forget.
Well, we had the Center for Health Transformation.
Yeah, okay.
And I wrote a book called Saving Lives and Saving Money.
Right, and I remember you and I don't think there's been a year in the 25 years I've known you that at some point we didn't talk at length about solutions like health savings accounts and cooperatives. You know, I personally believe this. I want to ask a bigger picture. I think that if Republicans get the promises completed, get the economy moving. I like your idea about making the president's tax plan, tax cuts for the middle class, tax cuts for corporations, repatriation, all retroactive. I think that helps the economy, brings jobs back. If they build 300 miles of the wall, they repeal and replace, and they get energy moving, I think everybody gets reelected, no problem. But I'm also very upset with the Republicans, not only that they can't move legislation, that the Democrats got a special counsel in the strangest of circumstances. Hillary Clinton is smashing BlackBerry and iPhones, you know, because she doesn't want to hand them over. She has a private email server, mishandled classified top secret information and destroyed it. Then the Uranium One deal. Then the Ukrainians trying to influence the election. Then Loretta Lynch. And now the latest is Debbie Wasserman Schultz and this nutty IT guy with an ankle bracelet, $300,000, trying to take off to Pakistan after he destroyed hard drives.
Well, you know, this is one that I really think people need to look at, and I'm going to start taunting the New York Times and the Washington Post and others about covering this thing. You have here, going all the way back to 2004, House Democrats were involved with a bunch of Pakistanis who have been paid millions and millions of dollars working on information technology. Now, think about this. These are guys, in one case, one of the people that they're connected to was seen by the CIA in Beirut conversing with Hezbollah. The relationships are really, truly weird. They apparently, since 2010, the family has collectively been paid $4 million in taxpayer money running IT, which means they had access to all sorts of official records in the U.S. House. The wife of the key figure has fled to Pakistan and was not stopped by the FBI. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It's unbelievable to me. And again, the Republicans don't use their power of subpoena. They're not, well, they're only finally, as of Thursday, asking for special counsels. And,
right.
And they're not getting things done legislatively, or I could say, oh, they were busy. It's not like they're busy, you know, accomplishing and achieving the promises they made to us.
Well, look, this is a place where the House Judiciary Committee has a huge opportunity to step in, because everything we're learning here involves not only theft on a grand scale, but also involves the whole question of whether or not this was an intelligence collapse. And the more you look at it, the stranger it gets.
All right. Newt Gingrich is with us. We're going to continue on the other side. I want to get to the issue of balancing legislative accomplishments and promises and also fighting so we don't have a two-tier justice system in the country. And that means using the power of subpoena and certainly the appointment of a special counsel in the case of all of these scandals that the media is ignoring on the Democrats. As we continue with former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, by the way, his book, Understanding Trump, has now been, what, nearly up to 10 weeks on the New York Times list, debuting at number one on the list, which is a great tribute to you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm looking at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Hillary Clinton. I'm looking at the Ukraine influence in the election, Loretta Lynch, James Comey. Now the general counsel of the FBI is being investigated for leaking. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then Uranium One, which I think is by far the worst scandal because there was a real quid pro quo. And I want to balance what the Republicans ought to be doing, and that's getting their act together. It's August and getting their job done in a and finishing their promises and making true good to their promises and also balancing fundamental fairness in our justice system.
Well, look, I think that there is a lot of work to be done. I think in some areas you're beginning to see real momentum. You may have noticed that Attorney General Sessions has announced a dramatic increase in prosecutions about people who are leaking and violating classification and leaking our secrets, which is a step in the right direction. I think that this whole question of the imbalance both of press coverage and of congressional and Justice Department activity between the efforts to smear President Trump and the very real problems that we now know. I mean, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz story, and she was, after all, the head of the Democratic National Committee and a big supporter of Hillary's. You know, the fact is that there are hundreds of thousands of dollars stolen here that we know are real. I mean, this is not...
Well, we know they double billed. They double billed the whole time, and we know that there are people in this guy's family that had no business on that job or access to our secrets.
That's right. And so you have to stop and ask yourself, why is it, first of all, why did she keep him around so long? And I begin to think probably she was blackmailed. I don't know what he knew or what he found through the IT, because he had access to an amazing number of information technology, both the House Democratic Conference, apparently. I think 26 different members had hired him. This Pakistani family had a level of access to U.S. government documents and U.S. government information that is beyond astonishing. And that it should be a major national scandal, and yet, other than the Daily Caller and a handful of people, it has been remarkably undercovered by the major news media. Just astonishingly so.
Well, and I think this is so. I'm trying to balance it. I feel like at times, Mr. Speaker, and I've been out there on a limb almost my entire career, vetting Obama. I was right on Duke Lacrosse. I was right on Richard Jewell back in the day. I was right on a whole variety of these issues. Ferguson, Freddie Gray, George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. I was right on all of them and went against the media grain. I know that Russia's nothing. I know these scandals are real. And I find that I'm sitting here on an island sometimes, and it is beyond frustrating.
Well, I think it also validates exactly what Trump campaigned on. You know, there is a deep state, there is a swamp. They are both opposed to Trump. They're both going to do everything they can to stop people like you and me. It means we're always fighting uphill, but we have two huge advantages. One is the American people instinctively believe we're right, and the other is the more facts you learn, the more obvious it is that we're right, and we can afford to have a very fact-based conversation, as you pointed out a while ago. The uranium deal is real. The money from the secret Canadian foundation that poured money into the Clinton Foundation is real. The money paid to Bill Clinton for a speech in Moscow is real. So we can have a very fact-based conversation.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for being with us. He'll join us tonight on Hannity. Later on, former presidential candidate and Governor Mike Huckabee will check in. When we get back, we'll get your reaction, your phone calls straight ahead.
standing up for what's right with America. We're back on the Sean Hannity Show.
Why did you write the book?
Well, I felt that just like Goldwater had felt in his time 56 years ago when he wrote the original Conscience of Conservative, that the party had lost its way. And I think similarly today, the party has lost its way. We've given in to nativism and protectionism. And I think that if we're going to be a governing party in the future and a majority party, we've got to go back to traditional conservatism, limited government, economic freedom, individual responsibility, respect for free trade. Those are the principles that made us who we are.
One of the things you write in the book is it is not enough to be conservative anymore. You have to be vicious. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at the politics of today, I mean, the tape from last week at the White House and the language that was used then, and we've seen, unfortunately, too many examples of members of Congress and other elected officials using language, referring to your opponents in ways that you would have never done before, ascribing the worst motives to your opponents, and assuming that other Americans are the enemies. And that's just not the way it used to be, and I don't think it can be that way in the future.
All right, 25 now before the top of the hour. Jeff Flake needs to go. He's one of those people that just need to go. And I'm sorry, I will never support him again. And Murkowski, I would never support her in Alaska again. And all these other senators, repeal, replace, they vote for it, phony show votes. I would just refuse to deal with these people ever again. John McCain, really, blaming me? Our inaction is the result. They can go straight to hell, these people on cable and on radio.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them. They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood.
Our incapacity is their livelihood. You know, I'm glad that many of you in this audience know this show. I'm glad that many of you have heard Dr. Josh Umper. I'm glad many of you have heard an idea that I don't know anybody else that has been hoping and pushing the idea of these healthcare cooperatives because they're so good. Could you have $50 a month? Unlimited care, total access to your doctor, 98% reduction in pharmaceuticals. I mean, stitches and broken bones and x-rays for 48 cents. Then you couple it with a catastrophic plan. You have the best concierge care ever for far less than you're paying now. Maybe at like a 70% reduction in many cases. And no, they didn't even talk about that, the identity-less Republicans. You know, but of course, blame us. Well, Senator, we've talked about the penny plan. You voted for the budgets that rob our kids and grandkids. Senator, you had a chance to fulfill your promise and repeal Obamacare. You didn't do it. I haven't seen John McCain work. And how many jobs did we coordinate through all the energy companies? Because energy production is the key to national security. We won't be dependent on countries that hate us for the lifeblood of our economy. And there are literally millions, and I'm not overstating, millions of available high-paying career jobs for Americans. And even guys that start out on an oil rig or start out driving trucks for oil companies. 80 grand a year, I'll take that if I'm out of work right now, if I'm on food stamps right now. You know, what's our friend in North Carolina that I sent to school? Tavares. I mean, his life has been transformed because he's now driving a truck. We sent him to truck school. We love the guy. He works for an oil company. He's even getting paid more money. That's why these things matter. Really, is it that big a deal? Is Arizona Senator Flake, Senator McCain not been overrun with illegal immigrants? And how's that impacting the state of Arizona? How's that impacting Maricopa County, I guess now former Sheriff Joe Arpaio? How is that impacting the educational system in California, Texas, and Arizona? How's that impacting the healthcare system in those states when people are sick and they need to be taken care of and they have no insurance because they're not citizens? I mean, I would like to think that we are people that love our country and have ideas. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. We're going to get to our busy phones here. Sandra is in California. Sandra, hi, how are you?
John McCain is an obvious betrayer and a liar. And I think it'd be interesting if somebody took the time to count how many times he was on mainstream media shows trashing President Trump, I bet you it would be in the hundreds. And sadly for Arizona, there's also Flake. But I think that the senators and the congressmen and the media and others need to quit trying to micromanage President Trump. I love having his tweets. He makes excellent speeches. He's really good at rallies. A lot of that's covered up by the media. But he's a great communicator, and I'd rather hear his communications than have somebody like Obama read his speech very well, but the speech says absolutely nothing. And I'm very disappointed in the Republicans. They've got to get off their butts and get to work, or I guess it is going to harm the rest of us. But memo to the media, I'm never going to quit on Trump. I've shut them off. I love to listen to you. I love to listen to Rush. I love to listen to a local talk show called Hot Talk out of Palm Springs. And I can hear in 5 minutes townhall.com news report and hear as much as I could hear in an hour of ABC, CBS, or NBC. They're pathetic organizations.
Isn't it amazing, Sandra, and I only know this because I sample occasionally some other media outlets. I mean, I bet nobody, if you've watched any other media, they don't tell you about Ukraine. I think the biggest story that is going to come out of all of this is the Uranium One deal. I'd like to know where all that money from all those Canadians that they funneled back over $145 million, where did that money really come from? That's a question I want answered. How is it they don't view that as Russia collusion? How do they not view what Ukraine did and a DNC operative meeting at the Ukrainian embassy with the Ukrainian ambassador and giving money, giving information back to the DNC and Hillary Clinton and her campaign? How do they not view that as collusion? Why? Because they were pro-Hillary and anti-Trump? It makes it any different? Aren't they trying to impact our elections? When are we going to get to James Comey and his leaking or the chief counsel? Sarah Carter broke a huge story that nobody in the media talks about. The chief counsel of the FBI under investigation for leaking? And that's leaking intelligence? This is beyond anything I've ever seen. 125 confirmed leaks in 126 days, and it's far worse than that. The deep state is so involved in trying to take down this president. Those that have weaponized our intelligence gathering. Now, and by the way, this is not the intelligence community. I love the intelligence community. They are bravely protecting this country. But if you misuse the tools of intelligence and turn them on the American people, that is a scandal. That's the predicate and foundation for a police state. And it's happening in America. You know, add to that Hillary's crimes with, you know, email server and top secret special access program, classified information. All of this. Now, finally, they're beginning to say, oh, maybe Hannity's right. Maybe we should investigate this. And then they can't get the job done. You know why you're right, Sandra? Look at the president when he goes out in the country. And the crowds are as enthusiastic as they were during the election. You know, and all they want to talk about, oh, Anthony Scaramucci's out today. All right, we got that.
The media likes to overreact. You know, they were saying this was the worst week of Trump's presidency, and it made me think of your thing that you put together. I think you could go back and count how many times they've said, this is the worst week. You know, they just overreact to everything. And as I think as regular Americans, we need to be a whole lot smarter and just kind of ignore the media.
Yeah.
Just shut them off.
All right.
They're immaterial anymore.
Well, the problem is that it gets advanced and advanced. And when are we going to investigate Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Mike, I mean, there's so much here. And there's so much evidence to corroborate this. And I really feel at times that we are, it's like this is scandal central. Just like we were ahead of the curve on Obama. Head of the curve on Trayvon and George Zimmerman, head of the curve on Duke LaCrosse, head of the curve on Ferguson, head of the curve on Freddie Gray. What did I say? These guys are never going to get convicted. Once I saw what the evidence was, taking my time, not rushing to judgment like the president. I realized that they're not getting convicted. And it was obvious to everybody but the media. We saw that Trump could win. They never saw a path for him to win. How wrong, how often can they be so wrong on so many different things? And it's all because of an agenda. It's all because of their abusive bias in the media. All right, let's get back to our phones. I'm apoplectic over a lot of what's going on here. If these guys don't get their act together, start using their power right in the House, in the Senate, their subpoena powers, investigative powers, they don't start getting their promises fulfilled, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's so frustrating. Anyway, let's get to our busy telephones. John is in Houston, Texas, KTRH. John, hi, how are you? And we're glad you called.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I agree with you about the Senate and health care. And between that and all this Russian garbage, they're playing right into the hands of the Democrats. The Democrat attacks are not about Trump or Russian collusion. It's about covering up the lies of the previous administration. They're trying to make it so we don't look into Fast and Furious, Loretta Lynch, Benghazi, etc. They had no clue Hillary would lose. And when she lost, they had James Comey run interference. And when he was fired, he appointed a special counsel. I think this is all about covering up their past until they get into the White House again so they can seal it and put it away.
If they'd ever investigate, I am pretty confident, and this is based on all the information that I know and what I believe, and I think there's got to be a rational explanation as to why, with the overwhelming and incontrovertible evidence on Hillary, why didn't they do anything? And here's my guess. It's a theory. It's a guess. I'd like to investigate it. I'd like Congress to do their job. But my guess is she probably can expose so much on so many people because she knows all about the deep state, was probably active with them. And unfortunately, if she's in that position, then the people that she would likely expose are in the positions where they could do something and they're not going to do anything because she's got something over their head. And that's the sad reality of how life works too often and certainly how the government operates today. Good call. Appreciate it, John. 800-941. Sean, Kogo Radio, San Diego. Scott is next. Scott, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Hey, I got an idea I want to share with you, if you don't mind, and see if you might be able to, what you think of it, if it might be worth bouncing off some of your contacts, either the president or his staff. I think there's an old school way that the president can overcome this, like your previous caller said, the true agenda of the establishment and the media and the misleading that they're doing to the American people. The president does fantastic when he gets one-on-one with an audience. He wins over foreign leaders. He wins over rap stars. He wins over high-profile athletes. But, you know, Donald Trump right now is the biggest thing on earth. He's bigger than Michael Jordan. He's bigger than LeBron James. He would attract attention anywhere and everywhere he goes. But there's one old school way he could connect, I think, with everybody. And that's to have a fireside chat, an Oval Office televised primetime one-on-one hour, Donald Trump and the American people. And you know Fox would broadcast it. And because Trump is so huge, any other network would be an idiot not to broadcast it. Because even if he only takes a 2 minute or one or two or three commercial breaks, every legitimate business in the country would die to advertise on that thing for the exposure. He would have 95% of America, including foreigners, tuning in to that show, and he could pick out the six or eight items, you know, points that the mainstream media and the establishment keep misleading people on, and just say, hey, here's the reality on Obamacare, 5 minutes. Here's the reality on Russia, 5 minutes. Here's the reality on the economy. And
I think this is a great idea. President, to a certain extent, is able to do that, as the president is really good at social media. And that's why he has, 50 million, 100 million people that he's reaching in social media. It's crazy. And I think that it would serve the president well to just get his message out. And you know what? The media would absolutely be so resentful that it would actually be fun to watch them react, that they can't stand that he doesn't need them anymore. Here's the truth. The president doesn't need them anymore. The president is bypassing them. They resent the hell out of it that he doesn't bow before them. And that's part of where this resentment comes from. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll come back. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. Mike Huckabee, former governor, former presidential candidate, is next.
I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand. Believe me, I'm sitting in that office. I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it, so it's a little bit different. But I'm ready to act. For 7 years, you promised the American people that you would repeal Obamacare. People are hurting. Inaction is not an option. And frankly, I don't think we should leave town unless we have a health insurance plan, unless we can give our people great health care.
And you know, there's an old saying that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Mm-hmm. Now is not the time to leave the American people in a lurch. Now is not the time to leave American health care at risk. Now is not the time to continue to stress even worse the family budgets as parents are trying to take care of their kids. So I hope they won't quit. And if they're going to quit, well, then, by golly, maybe they ought to start at the top with Mitch McConnell leaving his position and letting somebody new, somebody bold, somebody conservative take the reins so that they can come up with a plan that can get through the United States Senate and serve the needs of the American people.
You think that the problem is leadership? You think it's time for a change for the Republicans in the Senate?
Well, unquestionably, the leadership at the top is responsible. The buck stops there. That's why you take on that kind of responsibility. And if Mitch McConnell cannot get the job done on this, how is he going to get the job done on the rest of President Trump's agenda over the next 3.5 years? As I see it right now, this is a killer. As you recall from 6 months ago, if we did not get health care passed, that meant that there would be no tax reform, which in turn meant that there would be no infrastructure improvements. And if that ends up being the case, as was represented to us in the House back in the spring when we forced through a health care bill, well, we need new leadership in the Senate if they can't get the job done. It's not necessarily anything bad about Mitch McConnell himself personally,
right?
But he's got a job to do, and if he can't do it, then as The Apprentice would say, you're fired. Get somebody who can.
All right, that was Congressman Mo Brooks, who is running for the Senate to fill the vacant session seat down in Alabama, and I tend to agree with him. The president, rightly so, saying it is inaction is not an option for anybody, that people are suffering. And he's not giving up on Obamacare repeal, although Mitch McConnell said it's time to move on to some other things. And because Mo Brooks down in Alabama said what he said, well, now we've got all these articles that Mitch McConnell is waging war against Mo Brooks to get more establishment candidate in the U.S. Senate. I don't think that's going to work. I think ultimately that ends up helping Mo Brooks down in Alabama. And on top of that, you've got basically the president threatening to yank the Congress's gold-plated health care benefits, which I think is the right thing to do, too. And I don't think it's right to go on vacation either. And you got, you know, on top of all of this, you got the OMB director saying Obamacare repeal must come first because they were counting on $1 trillion in savings. Anyway, joining us now is former presidential candidate, former governor of Arkansas, Fox News host and contributor, Governor Mike Huckabee. How are you?
Sean, I'm doing well. You kind of summed it up pretty accurately just then. I think it was spot on.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you make of not only Mitch McConnell unable to do it and all the reports that, let's see, Joe Biden and others, they're all calling John McCain, and John McCain flies back with great fanfare. We wish him all the best, of course. And then he ends up, you know, siding with the Democrats on this. What are your thoughts?
It's very disappointing to see the Republicans, the ones who are responsible for not living up to the promise that they had made. And, Sean, the most frustrating thing of all, every one of those senators had voted for the very bill that they now voted against when the Republicans were in charge. So it makes me think that when they were voting to get rid of Obamacare back when they didn't have the votes to actually do it, that it was all a ruse. They were just doing that because it looked good to their constituents. But when it really counted and they needed to stand up for the people of this country that are sick of having the government try to decide for every one of the 50 states what health care ought to look like, when they had a chance to actually repeal Obamacare They sided with Chuck Schumer instead of with President Trump.
Mm-hmm. What do you make? There's articles out there today. Can an American president govern when he's at war with both Republicans and Democrats? When you think of the one promise that Republicans have made over 7 years, this is it. And I'm arguing they're a party right now that doesn't have an identity.
Well, they don't have much of an identity. Their identity is, in some cases, being never Trumpers and not being able to get over the fact that the American people, including the people of their own party, overwhelmingly nominated Donald Trump. They elected Donald Trump. And I believe there is an expectation that they will work with this president. And quite frankly, Sean, they don't have to like him. That's immaterial. But they need to work with him on behalf of the American people. I just wish that more people in America understood the positive things that are actually taking place under this president. For example, we've got a great Supreme Court justice. We have a person after his election, Donald Trump. We've now seen illegal immigration down nearly 70%, the lowest in 17 years. Consumer confidence, the highest since 2000. Mortgage applications for new homes have risen to a 7-year high. You have NATO.
We have a 7-year low, Governor, on food stamp participation.
Every single number that I can think of, the stock market is like rocket-propelled right now. We may hit 22,000 at the Dow Jones this week. I mean, this is amazing stuff. And when people act like, well, that doesn't matter to me, are you a retiree? Are you a person who has a pension? Then you better believe that stock market matters to you, because it means that rather than your stock portfolio that you're going to retire on meaning nothing, now it's supercharged and you might be able to actually retire. That's what that means.
Yeah, well, you know, look at, for example, Senator Flake, also of Arizona, saying under Trump, the GOP has lost its way, given into nativism, xenophobia.
That really made me mad when I heard that, because first of all, Flake is a never Trumper. He's one of those who, like Ben Sasse of Nebraska, has almost created his own cottage industry of being a contrarian to the American public who elected this president. But what was even more frustrating, for him to say that if you're an America first guy, and I count myself as one of those, then that makes me a nativist. Well, I'm sorry. That's not a nativist. I consider it to be a patriot to believe that ought to put our country first.
You know, Governor, we've been watching everything that's going on with North Korea, and now we have these reports out there that, in fact, North Korea is capable. Their ICBMs can now reach New York and Boston. And I look at this, and why am I more convinced between Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Putin and Russia, China, Iran, and obviously North Korea, that this presidency is not going to be defined by anything other than these foreign policy crises that are emerging?
Well, one thing that gives me great comfort, Sean, is that this is a president who is pretty no-nonsense. I mean, dropping 59 tomahawks on those runways in Syria and unloading the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan said, this is not a president that is going to draw red lines that he has no intention of keeping. And I think that was a message that hopefully was heard around the world. The North Korean situation is one that I just don't think there's any option. We're going to have to act preemptively, hopefully with the support and cooperation and even the assistance of the Chinese and Japanese and South Koreans. But, this is a cancer that right now is somewhat contained. But if we let this cancer metastasize and continue to grow, it's going to be much harder to stop it. And I know that sounds bold and dramatic, but
I think that's called the truth, Governor.
Well, it is, but there's just no way we can pretend that Kim Jong-un is going to calm down and grow up, but he's not. He is going to push the button as soon as that button will take an ICBM all the way to the United States.
Let me ask you about the varying scandals. Now, I know a group of congressmen finally said enough is enough, and they wrote the Deputy Attorney General last week on Thursday demanding that they start investigating, considering everybody's so obsessed with special counsels and investigations. And we ought to start looking at the strange circumstances of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her IT guy and him smashing hard drives and trying to take off with $300,000 and an ankle bracelet to Pakistan. You add to that Hillary Clinton and her smashing with hammers her many devices when, again, the whole reason for the separate email issue was I only have one device, and I believe crimes were committed there in the Uranium One deal and Ukraine trying to impact our elections. And then we got Loretta Lynch, and then we got James Comey in a report last week, the deputy FBI the attorney general or chief counsel for the FBI, is also a leaker. You know, are we going to have investigations into all these matters, or does it just focus on Russia, Russia, Russia?
Sean, if the Republicans don't aggressively go after getting answers, especially to this IT scandal with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Pakistani IT guy. Keep in mind, most of the press and even members of Congress have spent so much time trying to dissect a 20-minute meeting with a Russian attorney that happened during a campaign with no government officials involved, not a penny of taxpayer money being spent, and nothing coming out of it.
Well, where are the Republicans on all of these varying scandals where we know crimes were committed? We know Uranium One was quid pro quo.
Yes.
We know Hillary mishandled classified top secret special access information and destroyed such. We know that five foreign intelligence services hacked into that email server in a bathroom closet.
Well, and Sean, $4 million of taxpayer money went to this Pakistani IT person that Debbie Wasserman Schultz hired, along with members of his family. $4 million taxpayer
dollars. One of them worked at McDonald's. I wonder how much IT experience the guy had.
Well, and here's the point. It's not just the experience. The access that he had to Intelligence Committee reports, what did he do with the information that he had access to? And especially, why did he smash the hard drives? What was on there that he wanted to somehow conceal?
Well, but I don't see Republicans fighting and demanding like the Democrats have demanded on a non-Russia issue. With the same intensity. And do they not know how to govern and use the power that they asked for that we gave them?
Well, I don't think they do. It's all the more reason that when I hear people say the Democrats may win the House in 2018, I don't think they will because I don't think they have a message. But I'd sure like to make sure that Republicans understand that it may be that Republicans keep the House and Senate, but I'd like to see a whole bunch of different Republicans be in that majority.
You know what? I don't disagree at all. That's why I'm supporting Mo Brooks down in Alabama. I don't know if you know him. I've known him for 27 years, and you probably knew him when you were governor of Arkansas. I mean, he used to be the Madison County, Alabama district attorney. Believe it or not, he has a great history of filling in for me locally when I was a local host down there, Governor Huckabee, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, he really could have had a career in radio, and for some odd reason, like you, he went into politics.
What a dumb thing to do.
It's such
What's
a dumb
wrong with it?
It's such a dumb thing to do. All right, we'll take a break. We'll have more with Governor Mike Huckabee. All right, as we continue with former Arkansas governor and former presidential candidate himself, Governor Mike Huckabee is with us. So if you're the Republicans and you're hearing from the president this weekend tweeting out repeatedly, Obamacare's hurting people, and it is, why shouldn't it hurt the insurance companies? Why should Congress not be paying for what the public pays and get off their gold standard plan themselves and live like the rest of us?
Well, the only person who can actually make that change is the director of OPM, Office of Personnel Management, who is an Obama-era holdover. It's one of the positions that Congress has not yet confirmed for President Trump to have his own person in there. Of course they should be under the exact same program. Now, they may argue, well, we have to get our insurance under the exchanges, but they're still heavily subsidized, and it's one of the ways in which they have kind of created a scam, making it appear that they're living under the same Obamacare rules that everybody else is, when in fact they really aren't. They do have the subsidies. And that's what President Trump was threatening to take away, was their subsidies. I'm pretty sure that would get them back to the table to try to get something done rather quickly. Look, they ought to be under every law that the American people are under. There should never be a congressional exemption, and unfortunately there are many.
It really is pathetic. I mean, and this is what they asked for. Assuming, do you really think they got Mitch McConnell, who said let's move on, is going to go back to health care? Do you think he'd actually forego his entire August recess to do that, which would be the right thing to do?
I just know that when I was at Brookwood Elementary School in Hope, Arkansas as a kid, we didn't get to go out and have popsicle recess until we got our work done. And the idea that Congress is going to take a big recess and go home and put their feet up or even go visit with their constituents without having completed the work, I think to most Americans is simply not acceptable.
I think it puts their majority in jeopardy in 2018.
I think it probably does. The only reason it probably doesn't is because the alternative would be electing Democrats, and all they've offered is we're going to continue to investigate Russia and impeach Donald Trump if we get the chance. And I think there are enough Americans who say, for heaven's sakes, that's not what we want. We don't want to disable this president. We want to empower him so that he can help us get jobs, keep jobs, move the economy forward, protect America against nuts like that rule North Korea and Iran. And I just don't see the Democrats bringing forth any reason to vote for them.
I got to tell you something. I think that North Korea, I mean, it ought to be a wake-up call about Iran. I don't see any good answer, Governor, on North Korea. I mean, if you go in preemptively, what is this mental patient of a dictator going to fire missiles or nuclear weapons into South Korea? Is he going to fire them at Japan? Is he willing to go scorched earth? I don't see a good option out of that.
I don't think there is one. But the longer this continues to percolate, the worse it gets. It's not like it gets better. It only gets worse. And that's why I think that the sooner the better, there's going to have to be some type of strong action taken that disables the North Koreans' ability to continue to fire missiles and make these kind of very frightening overtures toward trying to launch into South Korea as well as ultimately to the United States.
Scary. All right, Governor Huckabee, we'll see you tonight on Hannity. And you got to be very proud of your daughter, who I think is doing a great job and under very, very difficult circumstances. And thank God she got your sense of humor because she needs it.
Well, she's a great kid. She's tough. And I think she's doing a great job with the president. And, of course, Sean, let me be very clear. I am as objective about my daughter
as
the New York Times is about Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. But honestly, objectively for me, I think that is the most miserable job on the face of this earth. Because you have the most hostile news media, I think, in the history of the country. Although it's been hostile in the past, but not like this. All right, Governor Huckabee, good to see you. Thank you. We'll see you tonight. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wide open telephones on this Monday, and your calls are coming up next. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. I am so apoplectic. After 7 years, this is where we end up. It is so beyond frustrating. But I first want to remind you, the president's ready to sign it. He's not Obama. You know, he's got a pen in hand, as he's been saying. And he reminds them of their promises, taking on his party because they're weak. They're ineffective, spineless, and visionless, and as I have been saying, lacking identity.
The question for every senator, Democrat or Republican, is whether they will side with Obamacare's architects, which have been so destructive to our country, or with its forgotten victims. Any senator who votes against starting debate is telling America that you are fine with the Obamacare nightmare, which is what it is.
I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand. Believe me, I'm sitting in that office. I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it. So it's a little bit different. But I'm ready to act. For 7 years, you promised the American people that you would repeal Obamacare. People are hurting. Inaction is not an option. And frankly, I don't think we should leave town unless we have a health insurance plan, unless we can give our people great health care. I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand. Believe me, I'm sitting in that office. I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it. So it's a little bit different. But I'm ready to act. For 7 years, you promised the American people that you would repeal Obamacare. People are hurting. Inaction is not an option. And frankly, I don't think we should leave town unless we have a health insurance plan, unless we can give our people great health care.
And then you got angry Senator McCain. He didn't mind being on this show, boy, when he was running for president. Didn't mind reaching out to me when he was running for Senate in tough, tough primaries. And here's Senator McCain, you know, so angry, you know, at me for telling you the truth.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.
They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood.
All right, well, let's get to our busy phones here on this Monday. All right, as we check in, we got Jay is in Albany, New York, WGY. Jay, how are you? Glad you called. Happy Monday.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I mean, they really don't have any motivation for 2018. There's only 8 Republican seats up for re-election in the Senate, and only one of them is really going to be contested, and that's Flake. The rest of them are all pretty safe.
Well, so, I think, listen, I got to tell you something. Flake needs to go. When he said that Trump, you know, and the Republican Party lost their way, giving in to nativism, xenophobia. No, we lost our way because of people like his fellow senator that can't keep their word. And their inaction is not because of people like me, because we've been offering solutions, Jay. For example, have you heard me talk about health savings accounts probably ad nauseum? Have you heard me talk about these co-ops with Dr. Josh Umber ad nauseum on this program?
Yep.
Yeah. Aren't they good ideas? Isn't the idea $50 a month, unlimited care, a great idea?
Oh, absolutely. But they'll never do that. I mean, this has been the greatest fundraising tool for the party in the history of their party. So they're not ready to give it up.
In 2020, exactly.
They have 22 seats and they need to raise money for 2020. They're not thinking about it now. So.
All right. Well, it's unbelievable to me. I don't know how these guys run on this. I really don't. All right. Well, it's going to stay in Albany. We got Ryan in Albany also. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. Just regarding this whole healthcare debacle, what action steps do you think we conservatives can take so we can get this to 51 votes in the future, whether it be through the primary process?
You got to get rid of the nuclear option. I think the first thing you do, get rid of the nuclear option, and although we still fell shy, it would be a big first step. In other words,
okay. You
know, think about it this way. Democrats don't play fair. In other words, the Democrats, you know, Republicans gave Obama his appointments, and all Schumer's done is not allowed McConnell in some ways to go forward with the people that the president needs to get rid of Obama holdovers and get his team in place. They still haven't gotten so many positions filled, you know, and so that's because the Democrats don't play fair. Democrats, you know, they get all up in arms that you can't filibuster a Supreme Court nominee. And yet they were about to do it with Neil Gorsuch. The Democrats are never going to play fair as they've gone now harder and harder to the left. So you might as well just make it simple majority, all circumstances, and that's all we need.
Yeah, you got to play hardball with them. That's the only way.
It's the only thing I think they'll understand. Just like if you want to end Russia, 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 fine. We know Hillary committed felonies. Now go after Hillary. Fine. We know that Comey acted in the wrong way. We'll go after him. Now let's go after Loretta Lynch. Let's go after the Ukraine. Let's go after Uranium One. And let's find out who's up to their eyeballs and where did the money really come from with Uranium One. Those are the questions. Once you start putting it back on them and the Republicans have the power of subpoena and they have the committee power and they don't use the power, then we're just being weak and ineffective, just like they're weak and ineffective advancing their agenda. You know, it's frustrating to me that I've got to spell this out for these people. It's beyond frustrating. They accuse us of not having a vision. You know, we're the ones that want the penny plan. We're the ones that want health savings accounts and health care cooperatives, and we've talked about for 15 years. We're the ones that say become energy independent. We're the ones that say choice in education. We're the ones that say identify evil in our time. We're the ones say build the wall. We have ideas. We have solutions. These guys all got elected on the same principles. We believe in tax cuts. We believe in, you know, middle class tax cuts, corporate tax cuts, repatriation. Why? Because we want Americans back to work, out of poverty, off of food stamps. We want to be energy independent, so countries that don't hate our guts, we're not dependent on them anymore. And not only that, we can help free Western Europe of the threat that Vladimir Putin poses if he dares to turn off the spigot one day with the lifeblood of their economy, which is energy. It's, you know, there's simple things we can do. And none of the things that I laid out, why would it be so bad to cut one penny out of every dollar we spend in Washington every year for 6 years so we stop stealing from our future generations and our kids and grandkids? It's unbelievable to me. Why can't we do that one simple thing? They can't even repeal Obamacare. One simple thing that they promised and ran on and we believed for 7 years. These ideas are not that hard, not that complicated. This is not deep. This is, you know, do you have an identity? Are there guiding principles in your party? And if you have the principles, have the political courage to do what you say you're going to do. It was one thing when Obama was president. Repeal, replace. Yeah, you'll vote for it 65 times until it actually is going to mean something. We say hi to Diane in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. Diane, how are you? Glad you called.
Hello, Mr. Hannity.
Hello, Miss Diane.
Hello,
how are
you? I'm real far away, but I got to
tell you. I'm sorry. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm originally from the south side of Chicago, about 2 minutes from favorite Obama's house in Bridgeport.
Wow.
But I'm in Florida, but I got to tell you, forget about politics. You're so cute, professional, and I love the way you stick up for Trump. And your hair, I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah.
You're so cute.
You know, people over the years have asked if it's real. Isn't that insulting?
It is.
Well, of course it's real. I don't know.
It looks so good. It's so perfect. I know the little gray on the side.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, maybe I need
to. But I got to tell you, I've been waiting. I've been trying to reach you for about 2 months now, calling and calling every day, and I got a busy signal. And now my heart is throbbing because I think you're just so professional. I love the way you speak. I watch you every single night.
Wow.
And anybody who's got anything negative to say to you ought to go flush yourself down the toilet. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's what I say.
A little feisty Italian woman, and I'll tell you, I've been a Democrat in that ward in Bridgeport for my whole life, and I'm a Republican. And if I could go and follow Mr. Trump or you guys at Fox News, I would be there every day just to be there. I love it,
wow.
The excitement and all of it.
Listen,
and
you
are just...
You don't... Look, the Republican Party is a party without identity and vision, and they're gutless, and I know a lot of us are angry, and they've let us down. You know,
I'm telling you, you're adorable.
All right, my head's going to get big and explode, and I'm going to pass out here because I don't deserve all these kind words.
Good thing you got a
but I will say this.
I already looked you up in the computer because I get you or Trump, I think you're cute. Maybe because you're both built like my dad, you know, nice Italian man.
All right, thank you.
I think you're so good.
Thank you, Diane.
I just want to pinch your little cheeks.
Well, they're actually big cheeks. All right, Diane, thank you. Wow. Diane does have the right perspective. We have our health. We have our country. We're going to continue to fight. It's going to be, look, we basically have to rebuild with ideas and solutions the Republican Party. I mean, they just, it's just pretty pathetic. But you know what? If you're healthy, your family's healthy, your kids are healthy, you know what? We live to fight other days. And it's just disappointing because we fought so long and so hard, and this is how it ends. So anticlimactic. We end with the party that takes toilet paper and wets it and throws it against the wall. Well, maybe this will stick. Well, we're going to go for the skinny version of repeal. Well, we can't pass the skinny version of repeal. And the skinny version, and there's no big thought, idea, vision that was laid out in this health care bill that was worth the attention of the American people or worthy of a political party that says they're about free markets and capitalism and freedom. All right, back to our phones now. In the meantime, Gene is in Florida. Gene, how are you? Glad you called.
I am beyond livid. I could not even sleep after watching that vote. And John McCain and his little grandstand thing, he wanted to put it in Trump's eye. Well, let me tell you what. You put it in the American people's eye, because who's paying your medical bills? I'm sorry for your illness. I'm sorry for your cancer. But you know what? The American people are paying your medical bills. Who the hell's paying ours?
Such a good point.
You people in Congress, you don't give a damn about the American people, which is why we voted for Trump, which is why we wanted him in there, so he could drain the swamp. Well, McCain, you're part of the swamp. And you are put on notice right now, all you damn Democrats and Republicans, you're put on notice. The American people have taken note as to how you voted because you wanted in office, because you were going to do so great for our country. And you've let us down at every turn. Well, by God, come election time, you're going to pay for it. So you better get your resumes ready. And those of you that are old enough to retire, you better get your retirement paper in order. Because you were going to be out of office. We've had it with you people.
Good for you.
I am just livid.
So am I.
Livid beyond belief.
You lit me up. You really, you remind all of us. You know, a lot of us worked really, really hard because of the words that they promised. A lot of us believed it. Now, I will say this. I say they're a party without identity. They're a party without vision. They're a party without courage. And the reason that I support the president's agenda, he actually means it. I've got my pen in hand. You guys said you're going to pass it. I'm waiting to sign it. And the fact that, we're going to move on to something else now is just not acceptable. Failure is not an option for me. And you're right. There are going to be these guys that are going to eat their words, repeal, replace, repeal, replace, and those that voted against it. Meanwhile, in the meantime, Democrats, they're celebrating. What are they celebrating? You like your doctor, keep your doctor. You like your plan, keep your plan. On average American saves $2,500 a year. Yeah, okay, well, that led to what? Arizona, 116% premium increase this year. Great job, Senator. Great job, Senator McCain. Let's go to Daryl in Missouri. Daryl, how are you?
Mr. Hannity, it's an honor to speak to you today, sir. I'd just like to point out one thing. As well as Obamacare being a total lie on both sides, the Democrat lying how great it is, the Republicans saying how they're going to repeal and replace, nothing's happened. Every politician, every election, whether it's 2, 4, 6 years, says how they're going to help the veterans, they're going to overhaul the VA system, and it's more health care reform, if you will. That's just a lie, especially to us veterans who are seeking help, and none is given.
Well, the president, in fairness to him, they did. That's one of the president's successes, is they've actually increased the money significantly, the options significantly, and the VA is now under a major transformation to stop the corruption and the broken promises that we made to them. So we actually have made a lot of progress in terms of the Veterans Administration, health care for our vets, and reform. And I'm not saying it's perfect yet, but, I mean, it's dramatically improved. And if you are still having problems and you are a vet and you've been dealing with the old regime that was there before President Trump got into office, you know, you need to check in with your local congressman and senator and make them work for you, because those things should be dramatically better. And if you can't get the treatment, you're allowed to go out elsewhere to get it, and in a timely fashion. So, you know, everything the president's been able to do himself, he has a vision. President is fighting. The president's doing the things he said he'd do. It's the Congress that can't get their act together. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We got such a busy breaking news day. We're going to talk about General Kelly, the new chief of staff, Scaramucci out, holding Washington accountable, North Korean aggression. We are going to do the job the media won't do. We're going to investigate the crimes and scandals of the Democrats in every way, shape, matter, and form. We have breaking news tonight. John Solomon, Jay Sekulow, also Sebastian Gorka, Eric Trump, and Mike Huckabee, and much more, all coming up 10 Eastern tonight. Hannity on the Fox News Channel.